Exodus 24:1-18. I come again for the fourth discourse to this chapter, the covenant, the Mosaic covenant confirmed. I've tried to speak on God's sovereignty, the sense of distance that's built into this covenant, the willing contract that Israel made in this covenant. And now in the final discourse on this passage, I want to emphasize this. This also is stressed in this chapter. The way God solemnizes, establishes, seals this covenant, as it were. The solemnity of it. What am I talking about? Well, we learn here that all was written down. It was a permanency about it. There was an abiding record. It wasn't just word of mouth. There was no room for going back. Every detail was specified. It was laid down. It wasn't dependent on men's memory. God established it. Let us read the verses. Verse 4. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. Everything. Every last word was written down, as the Lord had dictated, as the Lord had revealed himself, so Moses recorded this covenant. Verse 7, then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey. This is the book of the covenant." Moses wrote everything down, and this is the book of the covenant. And it was there. It was established. In verse 12, God said to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction." The instruction of the Hebrews. It's all written down on two tables of stone. And the rest of the law and the commandments recorded in the book of the covenant. So the entire system, in stone and in a book, recorded as one great covenant. It's not a gentleman's agreement. These are articles, indentures, and they're sealed and signed. They're settled. In England, in ages past, centuries past, when apprentices received their articles, the article was written out, and then it was ripped, torn, into two. And it was bringing these two pieces together, and of course they were unique, they matched, they made one covenant, one indenture. And the similar thing is going on here. God has sealed this covenant. He has established this covenant. He has made it permanent within its terms, in concrete, as it were, in stone, and in book. And it's all sprinkled with blood. It's all covered with the blood. It's for the instruction of the people, but there's worship, and there's sacrifice here. Verse 4. Moses got up early the next morning, and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said, we will obey." Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." And so on. It's a solemn covenant. It's a blood covenant. It's a worshipping covenant. It's an instructing covenant. It's set down in stone and in the book. And it's all established and sealed. And of course, therefore, it is a glorious covenanted deed. 2 Corinthians 3 speaks of the glory of this covenant, but it also speaks of the fading glory of this covenant. Galatians 3:19 and on tells us what? That this covenant had a purpose for a time. It was added. It was brought in, we're told in Scripture. And it lasted until the coming of the seed. Because for all its glory, all its solemnity, all its sealing, all the fact that it's confirmed and established for the Hebrews, it was a temporary covenant. And it was, above all, a shadowy covenant. It's all external. Stone and book and altar. And the blood is sprinkled. And it's the blood of bulls and goats. Sacrifice. Lambs and so on in the setting up of the tabernacle and so on. But none of this was effective. That blood sprinkled on them didn't cleanse them. The law was written in stone, yes. And in book, yes. There was an altar, yes. But none of it was effective. It was all shadowy. The writer of the Hebrews gives the commentary on all this. He tells us that none of these sacrifices, none of this blood, ever accomplished what the shadow was speaking of. It symbolized, it shadowed, it figured, it pictured the cleansing from sin. But it's only when Christ came and fulfilled this covenant, and by his one offering, he has perfected forever all those who are being sanctified. When he died on the cross, when he cried, "It is finished," then the blood of the covenant really was established. Not the Mosaic covenant, for that was now fulfilled and rendered obsolete, but the blood of the new covenant. "This is the blood of the new covenant," says Christ, and it's his own precious blood. Yes, we have symbol in the new covenant, in the Lord's Supper, and in baptism. But the reality is the blood of Jesus Christ does cleanse us from all sin if we're in him. Our covenant is established, but it's not temporary. Our covenant is established by blood, the effective blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus does wash us from every stain. We have, of course, the written law, but we have the law in our hearts too by the Spirit. We have a new heart, a new mind, a new will, a new disposition, a new love, a love for God and his word. We too have a solemn covenant, and it's an abiding covenant. Now I keep saying we. Who do I mean? I mean all who are in Christ. I speak to every brother and sister that has learned from this Exodus 24. The old covenant had a glory. Think of our covenant, brother and sister. The covenant we are in, the new covenant. It's not external, it's internal. It's permanent, it's not shadowy, it's real. It has accomplished our everlasting salvation. But let us also, in the new covenant, learn from the Hebrews. They knew that their covenant was an instructing covenant. And they looked into the law and they should obey it. Of course, they broke it. We too should be under the law of Christ, therefore we should be looking into that law of Christ, the whole Scripture, as nuanced and taught by Christ and the apostles, and seeking to live it out, and showing by our lives that we are members of this glorious new covenant. We truly have been washed from our sins, and we truly have peace with God. We're truly under the headship of Christ. We have an altar, we have a sacrifice, we have a temple, we keep the Sabbath. It's all Christ, all Christ. Christ is our sacrifice, Christ is our priest, Christ is all. Unbelieving friend, you're outside of all this. Of course, it means nothing to you, I understand that. But you don't know what you're missing. To have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ is something beyond description, beyond pleasure to describe. Oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is. The blood of our covenant, Christ's covenant, washes us from sin. And you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. And only the blood of Christ can wash us from our sins. This external blood only stained outside externally. Didn't accomplish anything. But if you come to Christ, that fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, you will find that the blood of the Lord Jesus will wash you so clean, and his righteousness so clothe you, that you will be perfect forever in the sight of God. For by one offering he has perfected forever all those who are being sanctified. So, brother and sister, let us be sanctified today in our lives, because we are sanctified before God through the blood of the covenant, through Christ. That is what I see here in Exodus 24, 1-18. God's sovereign covenant, the revealed covenant, a covenant that speaks of distance, a distance which cannot be overcome by man, a willing covenant for Israel, and now solemnized. Let us come to God now through our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the sovereignty of God, knowing it's no longer distance, stay away, but it's come and welcome. May we enter willingly into this covenant, and may we rejoice in the solemnity and the sacrifice and the accomplishment of all that Jesus is, has done, and is doing for us and in us, all to the glory of God. Amen.